Thank you for joining me today, coast to coast on the radio, and all around the world on the God Is podcast. Or maybe you are streaming this live somewhere out there. Wherever you are and however you listen, welcome. If you're driving right now, you will not be able to do this, but you can later after you've securely parked and with some of your remaining free time today and tonight. But for those of you who have your Bibles there with you, open the Word of God, if you would, to John chapter 6. I'm going to read beginning in verse 1 in a moment. This will be John chapter 6 and verse 1. Do you remember from last time why we are going to the book of John today? You say, no, I really could use the reminder. A lot went on in my life since yesterday. Okay, here's the summary. We are in Matthew chapter 4, verses 5 through 7, investigating the second temptation the devil gave to Jesus in the wilderness. In my view, with this temptation, Satan tries to get Jesus to sensationalize Christ's ministry. He demands that Jesus perform something sensational, jump from the pinnacle of the temple. The Lord refuses and does not leap. As we came into verse 7 last time, I laid out for you a three-point plan. My first point, which I completed, was to draw out of the text for you exactly how Jesus responded to this temptation of the devil. Jesus told Satan, "Do not test God." Our Lord interpreted Scripture with Scripture. He interpreted Psalm 91 in light of Deuteronomy 6, reversing Satan's misinterpretation and misapplication of the Word of God. Point two of my plan is to take you further into the Bible to show you the dangers of sensationalism as it relates to Christ's ministry. We'll do this now. And my third point, which we come to tomorrow at this time, is that I'll give you a specific example of how false teachers sensationalize the ministry of Jesus today and market this to our churches. On that point, we will deal with the false teaching that Christians should never be sick. The movement of signs and wonders, preachers that promote Jesus as the one who always heals all his people from all sicknesses and diseases, now, if we will just have enough faith, is untruthful, bogus, full of lies, and heretical, and yet the global church, the worldwide body of Christ, tolerates it. But do not let me get ahead of myself. Point two comes before point three. It's one, and then two, and three. So onwards to the Gospel according to John chapter 6 and my second point. I'm reading now John chapter 6. This is a text that may be very familiar to you, and I actually used this recently here on God Is, so you may think I am repeating myself, but this will be similar application from a slightly different angle. So join me here now as we seek to understand this in the context of Matthew 4, verses 5 through 7. And yes, we are now interpreting the Bible with the Bible. We are doing that which Jesus has taught us to do. John 6, verse 1. After these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, or Tiberias. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs which Jesus was performing on those who were sick. Let's pause there and let me point out why the crowds were following the Lord. John puts it succinctly. These people follow Jesus because of the sign of healing the sick. Now, you would think that is a perfectly good reason to follow Christ, right? The Bible says he is performing signs. So Jesus performs the sign, the crowds come, and they make much of Jesus, and he receives all this adoration. He goes on to do more miracles, and the faith of the crowd deepens, right? Well, hold on to that question. Let's keep reading, because in a sense, now Jesus does something even more spectacular. In verses 3 to 13 of John 6, Jesus miraculously feeds at least 5,000, more like 20,000 when women and children are added in. I will not take the time to read verses 3 to 13, but you should. Listen to verse 14 closely. Therefore, when the people saw the sign which Jesus had performed, they said, "This is truly the prophet who is come into the world." There is that word again in verse 14, sign. So there is this crowd, and Jesus performs the sign of healing the sick. That is what verse 2 says. And the crowd follows him, and the Lord performs the sign of feeding at least 5,000 from five barley loaves and two fish. John captures the reaction of the crowd. They declare that Jesus is, quote, the prophet, capital P, who has come into the world. This means they accept that Jesus is the prophet that God had promised all the way back to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15. In that text, God promised a prophet, and Jesus is that prophet. Deuteronomy 18:15. Well, this seems to be going very well for Jesus. He is accomplishing his purpose in the world, and the Jews are getting it. Now listen to verse 15. This is still John chapter 6 and verse 15. So Jesus, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone. Wait, what? Verse 15 causes us to stop in our tracks. Jesus comes, he heals the sick, signs and wonders. He feeds the thousands, signs and wonders, and because of this, the crowd are ready to make Christ king. Everything is rolling along just as it should, right? The sensational works of signs and wonders, the healing and the feeding, wow, that must all lead to genuine saving faith in Christ, such that people worship him as king. But apparently not. Look what Jesus does. The Bible says he, I am quoting John 6, verse 15 now, withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone. What? Jesus refuses the coronation? Yes. Why? It is because this crowd was ready to make him king based on what Christ did for them, not based on who Christ is to them. At this point, their followership is a result of getting something from Jesus, physical healing and physical food, not based on giving Jesus what Jesus wants from them, genuine obedience out of love for him. And this is just part of this theme that runs through John. So come with me also now to John chapter 12. As we get there, you need to know that in John chapter 11, Jesus brought his friend Lazarus back from the dead. A resurrection is certainly a sign and a wonder, isn't it? Talk about a miracle, and Jesus genuinely did it. Now to John chapter 12 and verses 12 through 13. On the next day, the large crowd who had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took the branches of the palm trees and went out to meet Jesus and began to shout, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. This sounds really good again, doesn't it? This large crowd, large, it is not small, are worshiping Christ as the King of Israel. They are laying the palm branches at his feet and shouted out their praises. Let's keep reading, dropping down to verses 17 through 18 of John 12. So the people who were with Jesus when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify about him. For this reason also the people went and met Jesus because they heard that he had performed this sign. There is that word again, sign. John 12, verse 18, sign. Performed this sign. It's essential you see this. Why did these people spread their palm branches and hail Christ as king? Why did they continue to testify about him and follow him? Why did they go out to meet Jesus? It is because Jesus performed the sign of raising Lazarus from the dead. Jesus is popular with them because they were getting something from him, these signs, not based on giving to Jesus what Jesus commands of them, obedience and love for Jesus Christ. And now the kicker, drop down to John chapter 12 and verse 37. This is God's word reporting to us the absolute truth. John chapter 12 and verse 37. But though Jesus had performed so many signs before them, yet they were not believing in Jesus. And we want to say, no way, no, You mean the people who thought Jesus was the prophet? The people who wanted to make him king on the spot? The large crowds who took the branches of the palm trees and laid them before Christ and who shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. And these same ones who continued to testify about him now do not believe in Jesus? In verse 37, isn't that something? I find this remarkable and yet extraordinarily insightful. When the crowds had the signs and wonders, they followed Jesus closely. They came for the sensational. They came for what they could get out of him. But when Jesus himself, God in human flesh, refused to be the sensation they had made him out to be, then they fell away. They did not believe in him. Healing, feeding, and raising people from the dead is exciting. It is shocking. It provokes massive public interest and excitement. But when that goes away, oh boy, does the crowd diminish quickly. Those who keep on demanding more and more of the sensational are not genuine believers in Jesus Christ. No, they are genuine doubters of Jesus Christ. They are doubters of Jesus Christ. And Christ is not interested in you and I following him for what sensational signs and wonders he can perform for us. Christ is interested in you and I following him for who he is, God. We follow and we believe by faith in Christ because he is God. He is our Lord. He is our Master. He is our King. It is not about us. It is all about him. I hope you see this in John chapter 12. I hope you see this throughout the entire context of John. And I'll have more on this tomorrow on God Is.